Janae and Gola Jr., the podcast.
They're trying to divide us.
I don't know, Janae. I'm just saying.
You're coming at me?
There's a lot of side pieces getting thrown around out here. It all seems to happen as soon as I leave the room, so I'm just getting a little curious here on Janae and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agumake here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, and all this side piece business maybe starting to get a little out of hand.
Don't be sensitive. It's just big ELE energy.
That was the kind way of saying know your place in the rotation, son.
You're a starter, okay?
A starter, but I did not play like it. So we're getting ready to talk to Adam Schefter here in a second. And I was trying to tease that in the last segment and be a radio professional and do this the right way. And instead, this is what happened. Coming up next, though, we'll look ahead to find out what's going to happen with Thursday night football in light of some recent COVID. We're going to talk to Adam Schefter. I don't know what happened. My whole brain, my tongue, none of it worked.
So good, so bad, but it's so good.
It's so bad, and it might stop. That's not even a different kind of good, as you've dubbed me before, Janae. That might just be normal bad. Coming up next, though, we'll look ahead to find out what's going to happen with Thursday night football in light of some recent COVID. We're going to talk to Adam Schefter. So we'll try this for real this time. We're going to try and take a look at what we can expect coming up in the NFL based on some recent COVID-19 positives and some headlines surrounding the virus, as I say very slowly and carefully. And we now welcome in our ESPN NFL insider, Adam Schefter, with us here on the show. And Schefty, we appreciate you joining us, and we appreciate the time. And right as we were coming on, really, the news broke that the Detroit Lions were placing Matthew Stafford on their COVID-19 reserve list. What more, if anything, have you heard about that situation right now for them?
Well, Mike, he's considered high-risk close contact, which means basically it happened Monday, and he's got 5 days to stay on the reserve COVID-19 list. And if he tests negative during those 5 days, then he would be eligible to play Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. If there's a positive test in there, being that he was in close contact to somebody with COVID who was not on the Lions football team, then at that point in time, he wouldn't play, and Chase Daniel would start on Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. But the Lions sound right now like they believe they will have Stafford available to them pending any negative tests that occur here in the next few days.
Here with Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL Insider. Make sure you guys check out the Adam Schefter podcast. Here on Chiney and Golic Jr., we are talking about Detroit Lions and Matt Stafford coming up with, you know, being a safe, out of an abundance of caution, you know, dealing with those situations. And then also with more, you know, positive tests. What's the latest, Schefty, on the 49ers shutting down their facility due to those test results?
Well, they shut it down today due to one positive test result. The wide receiver Kendrick Bourne tested positive. And so you could imagine the players that Kendrick Bourne has been around. He's been in that wide receiver meeting room. He's been at practice with the team this week getting ready for the Thursday night game against the Green Bay Packers that currently is on schedule to be played. So I think there is definite concern that there could be more positive tests that pop up here. You obviously want to make sure that Kendrick Bourne himself is okay, first and foremost. And then the 49ers shut down their facility today to do close contact tracing to see who was in his vicinity, to see if there's any further positive tests. Meanwhile, the Green Bay Packers are scheduled to leave Green Bay about 10 minutes from now. And the plane, last I heard, was scheduled to leave on time. It was scheduled to fly to the West Coast. The game is currently slated to be played Thursday night. The Packers will be missing their running backs. We know that A.J. Dillon, Jamal Williams on the reserve COVID-19 list, they will not be available to Green Bay tomorrow night. And the Niners will be without Kendrick Bourne. And they're already without Deebo Samuel and George Kittle and Jimmy Garoppolo and Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman. So they're missing a whole bunch of weapons. But that's the way that this season has been playing out. These games go on. The league is determined to get them in. And it looks like this one also is going to be played tomorrow night.
Adam Schefter with us here on Chiney and Golic Jr. And you mentioned that the league is going to go on. This game is going to be played. And Adam, it seems like even a month ago, a few weeks ago, as positive cases popped up, there seemed to be a lot more fear and panic about what would happen with the games and the facilities shutting down. There seemed to be more reaction. Is a lot of this the product of what the league has learned in that time period? And if so, how have you seen them adjusting in the way they handle some of these situations?
Well, I think that's right, Mike. I think we've seen, look, when there initially was the first case of COVID, you Everybody gets alarmed and panicked. And look, again, you want to make sure they're okay. But I think we've seen the league successfully handle the cases that it has had so far, so that if there are cases in New England, as there were with Cam Newton, if there are cases in Tennessee, as there was an outbreak with the Titans organization, if these cases occur, the league just moves on. Last week, Friday afternoon, Saints have Emmanuel Sanders show up there on the list, or two Fridays ago, and they're able to go on without him. He's okay. He was activated today off the reserve COVID-19 list. And so the league learns from this, adapts to it. But I think that from the fan standpoint, the public standpoint, everybody has seen that the league is going to continue to march on. There's a reason that the NFL upped the size of its practice squads this year to 16 players per team. They want teams to have an unofficial farm system to be able to reach down into to pull out a player in the event that Kendrick Bourne tests positive for COVID, as he did today. And so that's what's happening. And the league has known all along that there were going to be positive tests. There are always going to be positive tests this season. In the league's opinion, it was imperative that the league contain the spread once there is a positive test. And that's why the league has relied so heavily on contact tracing to see who's been in that person's vicinity when a test comes back positive, and why the league so far has done a pretty impressive job containing the spread of the virus.
Adam, we really appreciate you, you know, reminding us that the league will continue to march on and move on, and moving on so much so that there's a possible conversation, you know, circling around expanding to 16 teams in the playoffs. What's the latest on those conversations developing now?
Yes, that is a plan if it is necessary. And what's happening is we're basically getting past the point where some teams have had their bye week. So if there were teams that suffered outbreaks and couldn't play, this would be in place of a Week 18, where the NFL would change the playoff format for this year. The competition committee held a call on Monday about it. They're going to submit a proposal to NFL owners. And what it would be that the bye in each conference, as it's currently slated to happen, would be eliminated this season. And each conference would send eight teams to the playoffs, and they'd have a playoff where everybody would play each other and the winners would advance. So it would really be a tweaking of the playoff system where they would add another team, eliminate the bye, and that would only happen if needed, if there were more games later this season that got canceled, if they had to make adjustments due to any outbreaks of COVID.
Awesome stuff and great information as always, Adam. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Our great ESPN NFL insider, Adam Schefter, getting us all caught up there. And Chinay, that hearing that of in case, you know, it happens, in case they need it, to me is such a great positive in all this. Because
yes,
for so many of these leagues this summer, we were really sort of shocked and surprised by the lack of foresight in a lot of cases. And this finally seems like an instance where we've talked so much about Week 18 or those possibilities, that at least having something more concrete as a trigger should something unforeseen happen is encouraging, to say the least.
Feels good to have contingency plans, right? And also, I'm just thinking, because, you know, I don't know if you had these same thoughts too, because we're both players. I like my buys, okay? I feel like I've earned a buy, so that's the only point that I would see players have some kind of pushback. But if it meant that we get to reward fans with more teams participating, you know, this season, I'm here for it.
Well, and more players. I mean, those postseason checks, the opportunity,
yes,
to play in a postseason and what that poses, I feel like for the other teams trying to get in, there's certainly a player side of that that says, all right, we get a crack at this postseason prize, even in a place where we might not have had that opportunity in the past. So.
Yep, the competition. It's always tough when you open the field and you're a top team. You're like, oh, no, and then you're not getting a bye. That's tough. But, hey, I think these are the sacrifices players are making because we're happy to be playing football and also having football at the point of the playoffs.
Absolutely. Something that I know a lot of people did not have confidence in just a couple of months ago, looking at a lot of this. So uncertainty in the future for the NFL season starts to finally seem to appear to be coming together. That is a lot of words, a word salad used to say one thing. Things are moving in a direction that feels like the finish line is actually attainable for the NFL, with the exception of a couple teams. Coming up next, we talked to Aaron Schatz about the Jets. But what do we do with the Cowboys? One of our great ESPN NFL analysts says, blow it up. We'll tell you who next. It's Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio after this word from DraftKings. Thought I forgot. No chance.
Love you for that.
Team. out here for the team. DraftKings, there is no better place to get in on all the football action than with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. And to add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now and use code CJR when you do. And for a limited time, new users are going to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. That's code CJR, going to get you a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Back after this, Janae Golic Jr.
Janae Golic Jr., the podcast.
I'm just saying, after today and after the new evidence that I have seen posited, I feel like you should have made a call for Ryan Fitzpatrick in those short shorts. I'm just saying. It just seems like something you'd want on your team. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agwimuke. Janae, I can't get it out of my mind. Quarter got back. Thought route himself. Harvard face with an Oakland booty. It's all the above for Ryan Fitzpatrick right here. And it's distracted my entire day. He has gone out to practice and he has put an entire world on notice that men can wear short shorts at the workplace and get away with it.
I don't think the last time I really wore those, I mean, sometimes to work out casually, but like not where I know media cameras are going to be there, was when I played volleyball in high school.
That's the level of shorts we're dealing with here in Ryan Fitzpatrick. For anyone who hasn't seen the pictures floating around the internet, it is just, it's all up in your face. He has put those thighs out for everyone to see. Chiney, I don't know if this is some sort of silent protest after being benched in favor of Tua Tagovailoa or what, but he has put a world on notice with those gams.
Look, if you rock it and you can pull it off, might as well.
Listen, he's working it. Give him credit where it's deserved.
100%.
And especially as the oldest player on that roster, bar none, 37 years young, giving him the little booty pop on the photo and the pose there. That man knew what he was doing. Congratulations, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Incredible stuff there. Now, looking forward to the opposite end of the spectrum, the team we mentioned, the Dallas Cowboys, did not make any moves at the trade deadline bringing anybody in. Making moves brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. And Chiney, looking at this Cowboys team, you and I have both talked so much about the Jets. They end up in our bottom five almost every week around here. But the Cowboys have been an abject disaster. And now some hapless backup quarterback, as they wait to make that decision, is going to have to go out there against the Pittsburgh Steelers, which seems crass and unfair. Do you think at this point this is a team that needs to seriously consider maybe thinking about a little something called tanking?
So it's hard when you have talent there and you've had some unlucky situations with injuries to really have an idea of what your potentials could truly be, especially this year. We keep going back to how every year we talk about the Cowboys, they should be able to win the Super Bowl. But when you have those expectations and you continue to not deliver, I think there has to be a point where you realize you have that, you know, for lack of a better term, the come to Jesus moment where like, look, looking at the person in the mirror and this is what we need to be. We need to be better. So I'm thinking like big picture here, you change coaches, all right? You can't change the owner. So at some point, you're going to have to change the players because it's the same result with the coaches. You're going to get the same result with the owners. So at some point, you probably will change players. But I don't know if it's when you're rock bottom, when you don't really have full time to see what the chemistry is like and assess. But still, you have to realize that that's probably the only outcome that they create. They design that decision. And when do you make it? When do you pull the trigger? I'm not sure. Is it this year? Is it next? I feel like people deserve better, though. The fans definitely deserve better.
Well, I think in this position, it's not even a trigger that you have to pull. It's just the direction that you're going. And something like this, Chiney, I said with the Patriots before the season, people bring up tanking like it's a four-letter word in a lot of these sports because they don't want to see someone intentionally being bad. To me, it's just maximizing the amount of time you get to be good on the other side by minimizing that. And I said the Patriots were in prime position to potentially have that happen without having to really try all that hard because their roster has ended up in such a tough place. Dallas didn't think that was going to happen, but our ESPN NFL analyst Damian Woody says they need to take this and run with it.
Just watching the Dallas Cowboys and everything that's transpired, I honestly would blow it up, Key, because when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, everyone talks about Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, the wide receivers that they have, but really the strength and the core of that team over the years has been their offensive line. Okay, we saw Travis Frederick, their all-pro center, he retired. Tyron Smith, he's out for the year. Lael Collins, he's out for the year. This is a unit that's been a strength of the Dallas Cowboys over the year, It's been a big reason why the Dallas Cowboys have been competitive and been in the postseason. But this offensive line is getting older. They're injury prone. And so when I look at it, I think the Dallas Cowboys should hit the reset button.
Chinay Ingold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Chinay, I've always said I think the worst thing you can be in the NFL or really any sport is middle class bad, right? Like if you're just bad in the middle of the pack, you're spinning the hamster wheel of mediocrity for a while longer. And so the way this season has gone for this team, the best case scenario, not for the players because every player wants to go out there and win, but for the organization is exactly what Damian just described. How close to the top can we get so that we can maximize what comes on the other side of this when we are healthier and have a chance to evaluate, because they're going to have to ask some big questions about what happened as a quarterback, knowing the contract number that come the franchise tag or come a new contract are going to hit if they're going to keep Dak in that building.
So what approach would you take then? Because the process, I mean, it's funny. We talk about the process in which, you know, Philadelphia, the 76ers went really bad so that they could be really good and they still have problems, right? And speaking of this Cowboys, they've been in a different process of trying to figure out how to take that next step to win and be consistent in the playoffs. What then really changes? Or are you saying that there's nothing that needs to change? We just need to be healthier.
There's nothing that needs to change as far as them losing games this season. The roster is currently constructed with all the injuries and with all the disarray is probably going to get that done.
Oh, it's done. Natural evolution of the season, basically.
Yes, I think that's kind of what's going to go on, the natural trickle of this season, because if they can get near the top, then all of a sudden the problems that you've put yourself into the corner with Dak Prescott can maybe be solved with a draft pick that is young, cheap, and allows you to make a move and start looking at what the future could look like in ways that you end this tenure with Dak Prescott, because right now it seems to be that's the way it's been trending all along based on the way they've approached him. We've got a lot more to certainly get into with that. We've got a lot more that I feel like we're going to get into with the New York Jets coming up here in a couple minutes. We have a lot of other questions about their young quarterback and the direction of the season. But, Chinay, as I have to pass the baton to Jason Fitz, who's going to come hang out with you here, as you take the reins of this show now that you're back after yesterday, we got to get to preview tonight's game.
Let's go.
Cliff, let's go. Because we got Maction tonight right now. We got Maction, Cliff. I need music for the Mac.
Come on, Cliff.
It's the return of the Mac.
Turn us up.
Let's go, Mike. What's the Maction tonight?
Oh, my God.
Cliff, you're not prepared.
Not prepared at all.
I'm doing the air guitar.
I legitimately cannot find it. You got to go.
Wow, this is really lackluster here. I'm going to have to bring the energy on my own here. There we go.
Sounds just like us.
And honestly, this is what it deserves. Because what if I told you the conference that started the shutdown in the summer, the MAC, remember, the first domino that fell before the Big Ten and everyone else started making decisions was the MAC. And now they are back, baby. It is midweek Maction at its finest. And we've got two of the premier teams in this conference. First off, Frank Solich in Ohio, only the winningest coach, the winningest head coach in the history of the conference. Frank Solich hits that mark last year with his 111th win, and now they head into this season trying to replace a couple of stars and going up against a Central Michigan team led by, SEC fans, perk your ears up for this one. Jim McElwain has found a home and found new life inside the MAC with Central Michigan. MAC Coach of the Year last year, one of just a handful of coaches to win Coach of the Year in three different conferences, and they've got a squad out here. The biggest turnaround in college football in 2019 belonged to the 2019 Central Michigan squad. A 7-win improvement, a trip to the MAC title game where they ultimately lost to Miami of Ohio. But now this year, Charlie Fry making an appearance, their offensive coordinator, back around these parts. It's going to be exciting today. We got a couple of new quarterbacks in this one. Daniel Richardson going to be under center for Central Michigan. And Curtis Rourke making it a family business after his brother Nathan sets about every record you can passing in that offense for that team. It's exciting stuff. The MAC is back, 7 o'clock Eastern tonight. Really looking forward to it.
Love family affairs. Go get them, Tiger!
We're going to do it. We're going to do it real big. But coming up next around here, Jets GM Joe Douglas shoulders a lot of the blame for backing Sam Darnold. We'll get to that after.
Today in Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is time to sing. So we brought in a musical savant, Janae Angolik Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus. Starting November 9th, Janae Ogunmike and Jason Fitz here subbing in for Mike Golick Jr., who's on the call tonight for college football, Central Michigan, Ohio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Again, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive, celebrating 8 years of donating cars to veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. I know you don't come here for my voice. You come here for my lovely personality, I'm hoping. I'm realizing maybe I'm a little bit meaner than I ever intended to be. Fitz, how are you doing?
I'm so good now that I'm hanging out with you. How are you, Chinang?
I'm good. I'm still fueled right now by a nice caramel macchiato here. Oh. I don't ever drink coffee unless I'm like sleep deprived, but it was worth it.
Wait, is that hot coffee?
No, it's like lukewarm, which I don't know how people probably feel about me drinking like lukewarm coffee, but it's not even coffee. It's more just sugar and like...
I'm a year-round iced coffee person. That's why I ask. I know your work husband, Mike Golick Jr., shares my affinity for iced coffee. So I was just making sure that we didn't have coffee beef. But that's fine.
We don't. Teach
their own. Okay.
We don't. It depends on the temperature for me. If it's in the afternoon, I'll go ice. In the morning-ish, which, by the way, the show is like, we prepare for it at 10 a.m. West Coast. So I always say that like I can still carry it over to 1 West Coast when we start. So hopefully that's approved in your book when it comes to coffee.
Whatever coffee makes you happy. It's 2020. We find joy in coffee. We take it. I'm just an iced coffee all year, no matter what time of day it is. That's fine.
In 2020, we cling to every hope of joy, which, by the way, fun fact, that's my middle name now. In a couple of minutes, we'll get to the top of the top when it comes to the NFL. But let's begin at the bottom. Should I sing it? Do you want me to sing it or no?
Yes, you should. Go ahead.
Sammy and the Jets. I feel like I really nailed the Sammy that time. Now, the Jets, they are winless. Shocker. 0-8, bottom of the list in the NFL. Every other team in the NFL has at least one win. Now, I found it was interesting, you know, checking on their draft positioning, Jason. Their draft position right now is considered around the ballpark of 1.8, so like first pick, 0.8, or second pick. The FPI chance to earn a number one pick is at 57%. A top five pick is at 97%. So they have prime opportunities to hopefully make the right decision and improve. But like big picture here, when we're looking at the quarterback situation, what position does this put Sam Darnold into right now?
Well, that's a difficult conversation in general because there are layers to it, right? Like Devin that works on the show, Devin and I used to work together super early in the morning, and he knows that even a long time ago we were talking about the Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold situation. They're quarterbacks that I didn't necessarily fall in love with out of college. I think Sam Darnold has been very much with the Jets, who he was when he was at USC. He had a great first year, and then it sort of declined a little bit. He made maddening throws at times that led to stupid interceptions. Smart people do dumb things. Like, I can look across the board and say Sam Darnold has been a pro that's very similar to Sam Darnold, the college quarterback. The question is, for the Jets, what do you need? And this is my whole thing. Like, I don't care who's behind. I don't care if Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback for the Jets. They're still not going to be a good football team. So you can't tell me that Trevor Lawrence fixes that. So if I'm the Jets, I don't know. Even if I don't love Sam Darnold, I don't know how I get the rest of my entire roster rebuilt fast enough. I'm not sure it doesn't make sense to figure out if you can get an entire bounty, rebuild your entire roster, and then figure out your quarterback position. Because you put Trevor Lawrence back there, he's still going to be surrounded by a whole pile of trash and not going to be all that great.
Yeah, you know what's actually really funny? As you're talking about when you're in a tough situation, you haven't won, and I was in a situation where I got drafted to Connecticut and our team was like not good, you know, struggling to win. And you know, it was me getting the number one pick, and then it was a couple of players that they also got in the draft, and Alyssa Thomas that joined us, and a number of other, you know, people in my class that turned the tide around so that 5 years later, the Connecticut Sun are in the WNBA Finals, right? So having the opportunity to not only get a number one pick, but also surround them with, you know, that pick with talent, I totally understand and identify with. Now, you think that Trevor Lawrence, even though a lot of people are considering him a generational type of talent, a lot of people are excited about this position for the first time since the same way we had that excitement with Andrew Luck, who, you know, I knew at Stanford. How do you think Trevor Lawrence really fits in? Because I know it's a layered question, but it feels like everyone's saying you cannot pass up on him. And like, here's another caveat, Fitz. What about Justin Fields? Because there are a lot of energy, like small energy, picking steam about how he is also someone that maybe if he ends up there, you know, you can't pass on him either.
I think that one of the toughest things that we do now as a media and as football fans is the more tape we get on somebody, the more we find a reason to fall out of love with them. On Spain True. And Fitz, the great ESPN radio show you can hear from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, last night I had everybody come in and vote. As we were going through, we voted on which quarterback should represent each division for the next 4 years. I was stunned when we got to the AFC North to see 66% of our votes went to Joe Burrow, and only 22% of the votes went to Lamar Jackson, the reigning NFL MVP. And what that tells you is that everybody sees a little bit of good out of Burrow, and they're like, oh, and now I love Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow is going to be incredible. Lamar Jackson's already been an NFL MVP. And what we do is we turn around and say, yeah, but who's Lamar beaten? Well, who's Burrow beaten? So, unfortunately, what's happening to Trevor Lawrence is the entire world fell in love with him day one. And now, every time he has a bad game or an iffy game or just a moment that maybe people want to find a reason, a crack in the armor, suddenly that becomes a statement for Justin Fields. I think it would be ignorant, and this is where everybody gets too complicated in the draft. Take the full body of work, look at it from day one to the end, and then make an assessment on a player. And you can appreciate this, Chene, as a former player. Like, somebody can come in and have a great NCAA tournament, but if you've had a great season, if you've had three great seasons, that doesn't suddenly reduce what you've done. Trevor Lawrence is generational. I believe that. Justin Fields has the opportunity to be incredibly good, but I don't want to slight Trevor Lawrence and put Justin Fields on his level in the pros.
You're right, because a lot of times when we see talent and we see it over a course of the time, when we insert new talent like the Big Ten coming back late, we tend to get prisoner of the moment. And so we always have to put ourselves in nice little reality checks. And that's why you're always great to be here, Fitz. Now, the Jets, you know, it's really funny because they always make me want to sing. And unfortunately, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but you support me, so I appreciate that. Let's go, though, from the worst to the best, the first in the NFL when it comes this time to the playoffs, because what are the implications of another expanded NFL playoff? We'll talk about that next on Chene and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Chene and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chene and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Chene Ogwumike, Jason Fitz here. Now, our Notre Dame co-host is holding it down in college football right now, and his squad has a really big one this weekend versus Clemson. We will hear from Notre Dame coach Brian Kelly, who we aired a little bit earlier today and talked to a little bit earlier than that today in about 10 minutes. We will hear also, on Spain and Fitz, who do you guys have coming up?
Oh, we have Cincinnati head coach Luke Fickell joining us tonight during Spain and Fitz, which, again, you can listen to 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Cincinnati, number 6 team in the country. We get to sit down and talk to their head coach about everything that's going on there. Woo!
And I can't wait to get your real thoughts on this, because I have a feeling that you have some real feelings about Cincinnati's position in this whole college football playoff thing, right?
Oh my God. Yeah, look, I feel like I'm the early one on this. But, yeah, if I had a vote today, I'd put them in number 4, which has everybody, you know, all the college football fans up in my mentions. Jeez. But the fact is, I don't think there's a great
sound for
time.
That. Boom. I don't have the board. Boom. Yeah, I can't wait till we tap that back into that. But, you know, it's funny, Fitz, because, you know, over the last few months, we've all had to come together. I've seen this on the WNBA Players Association and also the NBPA with so many different sports, right? The NBA, the WNBA, the MLB, the NHL, they've all been trying to find ways to make and complete a season. And, you know, the NFL, when it comes to football, they've had some bumps in the road, but they still are forging along. Now, our own Chris Mortensen, he tweeted that, quote, the NFL competition committee, and Adam Schefter talked about this as well, expects to present a resolution to owners based on a contingency of having a 16-team playoff season if games are lost due to the pandemic, especially as bye weeks disappear, according to league sources. Now, remember, the NFL has already had and went ahead with a playoff expansion in which, you know, now we're going from 12 to 14 now based on the situation and trying to be safe and play it safe and make sure everyone competes, which is kind of a reward for players in some way. There's even conversations to expanding that to 16 teams in the NFL postseason. So, Fitz, do you think that this is something that is risky considering how hard it is? We're seeing it in real time, you know, even when it comes to Thursday Night Football and the implications there with the 49ers. Do you think that this is a good thing, or do you think that this is more so masking something that is a bigger issue for the NFL?
Well, I think it's a statement by the NFL, first and foremost, the first time we hear of a contingency plan, right? Like, remember that when free agency started and everybody said, not sure it's the best idea to hand out hundreds of millions of dollars in contracts, and the NFL said, so what? We're going to do it. And then when it came to the draft, it was like, well, maybe we should delay. And they said, so what? We're going to do it. Like, they've done that every step of the way. To finally hear that there's a contingency plan, I think, is important. But for the league, this has to be a worst-case scenario. We've just heard about the contingency plan. And now, do they have to use it right out of the gates? I mean, if you're looking at this situation with San Francisco trying to figure out how to play the game, I've just sort of come to the presumption, Chiney, that every single week the league's going to say, all right, we don't really care what your issue is, play. You have to play somehow, some way. But for a league that's already given us Monday night doubleheaders, Tuesday night football, they've done all of these different scheduling things. I think that the opening up of the playoffs actually gives them a little wiggle room. But now we're going to be demanding every single week to know what triggers that. What's it going to take to cancel a football game? Until we know that answer, conspiracy theorists are going to go crazy with the NFL and their decision making.
Yeah, and you know, when the way I hear this and I see this, I think of it in the context of the NBA, because a lot of the reason why the players actually chose to go back and compete is because they wanted, we heard it from Damian Lillard especially, right? I want a chance to win, right? And so I think in this climate where a lot of people have signed up initially knowing that the season is could be extremely complicated, and a lot of players are even realizing in real time, wow, like even being adjacent to this could really put me at risk, what we're seeing with Detroit, the Lions, and Matt Stafford, their quarterback. So, you know, I'm looking at this in the context, the NBA had a bubble, and so they sort of had a nicer shot at making this a smoother round for more teams to be included when they were able to compete. The NFL has different challenges because they're operating outside of a bubble, and so when I hear of expansion, I think it's really great, because if you sign up to play in the NFL this season, you should have I feel like an added bonus of getting into the playoffs, and I think fans want that as well. So like, I think they're working towards the right things. I do agree with you in the sense that it is so much more complicated just because we're seeing the challenges in real time. And so, Fitz, when you see these situations where players are testing possibly positive or even in the COVID reserve list now and then still having a game next, do you think that will affect the competitive balance going even into the playoffs?
Yeah, but I think the league doesn't care. I mean, One of the things the league told you, and by you, I mean everybody, at the beginning of the season when they let each team make their own decisions about fans in the stands, is that they no longer care about competitive balance. So you've got a situation where, depending on where a home game is, you might see a third of a stadium, you might see nobody in the stadium. And there's a vast and significant difference. So for the league, which has always been built on some level of competitive balance, to step back and say, nah, we're good, we don't care, go get yours if you want to, take your own risk at your own hands. I mean, that to me is when the league told you right out of the gates, they don't care. Plus, think about going back to the draft. I mean, the draft is supposed to be such a communication-driven sort of entity, right? But they had no problem putting everybody in different rooms and making it digital. And, you know, if Wi-Fi fails, Wi-Fi fails. Like, the league has told you they don't really care about competitive balance anymore. So we've also seen that, because how many fan bases right now are apologizing for their team with a statement of, well, we only had a third of our offensive line, or we were missing four starters. I mean, that's become the hold my beer moment, where everybody in my mind, if you're on a Zoom call watching the NFL, is saying, oh, you think it's bad for your team? Well, my team is at, and the NFL doesn't care. As long as they can get the games played, they don't care who the quarterback is, they don't care who wins, they just want to make sure they get played so that they can continue to get that money.
So you think that there's less pressure now based on the NFL? They're trying to create less pressure on themselves to finish the season, and more pressure now on the players, which I feel like is fair to assess.
Well, yes, but I also think that if the NFL has given us a contingency plan and they have to use it right away, I mean, then what? What are they going to do if all of a sudden this turns into a bunch of different games being missed? So there is some pressure on the league to have to deal with this so quickly. And this is all about the fact that there's no bye weeks left. So if the 49ers, you know, have to miss Thursday's game, it's just going away. Like, it's just not going to get played. So that's why the league does this. I'll be interested to see what happens when a team suddenly has missed three straight games, like we've seen, you know, happen in the college ranks at this point. Like, what happens when that hits the NFL?
Yeah, and back in the day, and I say back in the day because you never know how long things are, especially in quarantine, Adam Schefter was even saying this might be where we start talking about scenarios in which, hey, maybe it's more so win percentage, but we will wait and see. Well, I feel like we've really unpacked the NFL, their plans, but what about the game plan for the best player in college football, there's ranks? Because, you know, we talk about Trevor Lawrence and what his ability is when he's on the field. He will be off the field this weekend, and we'll talk about that next here on Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Trevor Lawrence and Clemson, we will see what they'll do without their star QB right after this.